Okay, let's take our Bibles tonight and we'll turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we have been looking at the works of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at some of the things that that the Holy Spirit was commissioned and sent back for to help us with and to do for the Lord. And we learned, of course, last week that when he has come, Jesus said he will not testify of himself, but he will testify of me. And so I'm going to say it again because it needs to be said over and over. But one of the reasons that I know that this modern day charismatic movement is not of God is because they put the emphasis on the wrong person of the Godhead. Now, please remember that and let that sink into your heart, and you will soon understand what the Lord Jesus was saying there. And I get so tired of these folks who think they have something that the rest of us don't have. All right? I'm tired of that. If what you display is what you think I'm missing, why don't you just go ahead and keep it? All right? Yeah, just go ahead and keep it. I don't know if I told you all this. I probably did. I've told you everything I know. I keep trying to learn new stuff so I can tell you new stuff. But back when we were at Bell Creek Baptist in Dixie, West Virginia, this couple came and got saved in our church. And they wanted to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Now, they came out of a holy roller environment. I mean, you know, the full gamut. And the only thing they did not do was drink poison and handle snakes. And believe me, I asked, because they said that they wanted to come and watch their family, their two family members, get baptized. And so we were ready to do all that and baptize them. And during the invitation, though, one of the other family members stepped out at the invitation and came down the aisle quietly, calmly, weeping, and wanted to get saved. Well, when he got down to the front, I gave him to one of the men, and they sat down on the altar, and he led him to Christ. Well, I got up then and after that, and I made the announcement, and I said, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. Well, his aunt, sitting back in the back, came unglued about that time. I mean, she scared me to death and everybody else the way she squalled out. And she just went climbing up in the seat and ran across the seat and jumped out in the aisle. And when she did, she started some kind of gibberish. I don't know what it was. Couldn't really make it out. And everybody in my church was looking at me like, what are you going to do? And I said, hey. And I pointed my finger at her. And she just immediately stopped and looked up. Now, I didn't have a microphone back then. All right? No PA system in that little church. And I said, hey. Like that, boy, she came out of it just quick as a whistle. And I said, I don't know what language you're speaking, but we speak English around here. And if you want to say something, you say it in English, or you go sit down. And so she went and sat down. And after the service was over, she came up to me and she said, I guess you taught me a lesson, didn't you? And I said, well, I sure hope so, ma'am. I sure hope so. She said, I was sitting there thinking, if what I did was of God, nothing you said could have made me stop. Amen. I mean, I didn't tell her so, but I thought, wow, that's good theology right there. You know, that'll make good preaching. But anyway, you see the point? All right. So you got to put the emphasis on the right syllable. All right, three of y'all got that. Okay. All right. All right. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12, okay? Look for a moment at one verse. We'll start here with this one verse, and it's verse 13. All right, verse 13. And here the Bible says, for by one Spirit, and you'll notice that this is the Holy Spirit, for by one Spirit are we, what's the next word? All baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. And I think I'm sure I've taught you this, that in the Bible when the Bible uses this language right here, all right, whether Jews or Gentiles, that's consistent throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Bible distinguishes between Jews and Gentiles, non-Jews. All right? If you are not Jewish, then you are a Gentile in the Bible. Now, there's one area where we're all lumped in together, and that is we're all sinners. Amen. For all have sinned, right? Okay, but now there are two kinds of sinners. There are unsaved sinners, and there are saved sinners. So always the contrast in the scripture. So he says here, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we are bond, which means we are bound, a servant, in other words, a slave. He said, whether we be bond or free and have been all made to drink into and dwells within us. Amen. He lives in our hearts, our bodies. Amen. All right? And we are one body. And that is people who are baptized into the Spirit, into the body by the Spirit. All right? Now we take that principle which we wholeheartedly believe and comprehend and understand, I hope, but I'm going to dwell on a little bit tonight. But then we take that concept, and when it comes to the ordinance, and the church has two ordinances, all right? There's baptism, and there's the Lord's Supper. All right, now there are some churches, especially down south and in the mountains down south, and they say there's three. There's foot washing, but that's not an ordinance that was given to the church. Jesus washed the disciples' feet, true, That was an object lesson that he was teaching them, so that they would understand that they are to keep themselves clean before the Lord. All right, he washed their feet. When you're walking back in Bible times, you did not put on a pair of Nike tennis shoes, or you did not put on Bostonian wingtips. No such creature. If you were lucky, you had some sandals that were tied onto your feet or to your leg. And so walking around in that, over in that dusty area, you would get dirt all over your feet. And so the Lord Jesus thought, here's a great opportunity to teach the disciples that they're to be clean. They're to be clean. All right, so, but never, not one time, all right, listen carefully now, not one time do we have in the Bible where, or in the book of Acts, where foot washing was practiced. It's not there. Baptism, yes, many times. The Lord's Supper, yes, but not foot washing. So we do not believe that foot washing is an ordinance that was given by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord, to the New Testament church. Now, we take that same principle when we talk about joining a local New Testament church, a local body of believers. All right, you see the language? And so Church of the Open Door is a body of believers. And so someone says, well, I want to join the church. Now, you can ask Pastor Holbrook. You can ask Pastor Young. You can ask Pastor Josh or Pastor Ray. You can ask any of us you want to ask. And your question would be, what is the first question that you ask someone who says, I'd like to join the church? And our first question is always this: do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? And if they say yes, then the next question every time is going to be, have you been baptized by immersion? All right? Baptized by immersion. We had an evangelist one time down in West Virginia. Believe it or not, this was before we all hated one another. All the independent Baptist churches in the Kanawha Valley went together, and we had this big tent meeting, all right? And we had this evangelist come in, and his name just escaped me. What was Hiles' friend down there in Texas? What was that guy's name? You remember? You can see him in your mind's eye, can't you? Huh? No. What? No, not Johnny Pope. Long before Johnny Pope. You remember his name, Carol? No. You remember his name, Karen? But you can see his face, can't you? No? Yeah, didn't happen yesterday, so. anyway, it'll come to me in a minute. But what was that? No, not Johnny Cash. No, not Jim Vineyard. He was from Oklahoma. Before him. I can see him. He was Hiles' best friend growing up. Anyway, we had him come and preach. And we had him preach for 2 weeks, and then it took me 6 months to clean up the mess. I kid you not. I mean, I told him, I said, "You are the meanest preacher I ever met in my life." And he just smiled. He said, "Thank you. I really didn't mean that as a compliment." But he took it as one. And, you know, old school, John R. Rice stuff, you know. And if you didn't like it, tough rocks, you know. He just didn't care. And he, before the 2 weeks was over, he had everybody mad about something. I mean, he preached on everything that you could imagine, everything. And I remember we were sitting around after the final service and talking, and Glenn Matthews said, "Are you against?" And he said, "Yep." He said, "Well, I haven't told you what it is yet." And he said, "Yeah, but I'm against it probably." And he was. I mean, it's just the way the guy was. He was just geared that way. And there's no way he could pastor a church. He was too mean. He was just too mean. I mean, there was a kid in the church that came to our church, and he had this long stringy hair. And so, Joe Boyd. Just thought of it, Joe Boyd. So the kid comes to the tent meeting, and Joe Boyd walks up to him and says, "Son, you saved?" And he looked at him and said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, why are you walking around with a girl's haircut?" And I went, "Oh, dear. Oh, dear." Because these folks were new Christians. And sure enough, I had to follow up and go visit and say, "Hey, you know, calm down. It's okay." But, you know, it's just one thing after another. But here was one of his little cliches. He'd say this all the time. "You need to get born again and then baptized in deep water." Now, that kind of knocks sprinkling out of the way, doesn't it? All right? And that kind of knocks, pouring and infant baptism and all the rest of that stuff. Isn't it amazing that we take something as simple as baptism? I mean, that's what the Lord Jesus called when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost upon the disciples and the 120 in the upper room. All right, he called that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And since that day, every person who has trusted the Lord as their Savior has at that moment of faith been baptized by the same Holy Spirit. Amen. That same Spirit that fell upon and baptized the disciples in the upper room is the same Holy Spirit that you were baptized in with when you trusted Christ as your Savior. All right, so we've taken that principle, and that's how we view baptism in the local church. We want to know, are you saved? If you're saved, have you been baptized by immersion? And I cannot tell you how many times. It's most of the time when you ask that question. Well, I was baptized when I was a baby, and so I didn't say, "Well, when did you get saved?" "Well, I got saved last week." "Oh, okay. So in the Bible, in the book of Acts, whenever you read the book of Acts, which is the history of the church, all right, the beginning history of the church, and it's open-ended. The church is still making history today, all right? And so what do we do? Well, we say you need to be baptized in deep water. You need to be baptized by immersion. And when you clarify that, a lot of people will say, oh, because in people's minds, whatever baptism they received, it's baptism. So have you been baptized? Yes, I have. By immersion? Well, no. You see, but in the book of Acts, and he was saved and he was baptized. It's always that way. And he was saved and he was baptized. It's not flipped around. It's not, and he was baptized and then saved. No, he got saved and then got baptized. Nod your heads. Do you understand that? That is, why do we confuse all this? Because there's a real devil, that's why. I mean, the devil never lets up. So notice here that Paul makes it clear that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has been baptized first by the Holy Spirit of God. All right? You are baptized into the body. And he says here, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And folks, there is just today so much confusion about this. I mean, it should not be so, but there is so much confusion. When I was pastoring down in West Virginia, you run into all kinds down there, oh my soul. I mean, you know, I've had people say, you're not going to believe this. And I say, yeah, probably not. You know, whenever somebody says that, I'm about to be told something that you're right, I don't believe that. But anyway, this one fellow, I went out and was knocking on doors one evening. And this fellow came to the door, and he said, yeah, I've heard about you. Come on in. So I thought, oh, boy, here we go. So I went in and sat down, and so we chit-chatted, you know, and you know, all the, you know, talk about folksy things, you know, like Pastor Stainer always taught. And so I said, well, sir, where do you go to church? And he told me where he went. And it was Holiness Church, and I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, if you were to die right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? He said, well, I sure hope I would. And I said, well, did you know that the Bible says you can know? He said, no, the Bible doesn't say that. And I said, can I show you? He said, well, I guess. He was getting defensive already. Not because I was going to show him truth. He was defensive because the truth was about to destroy what he believed. And so I said, you know, we try to get what we believe out of the Bible. Would you agree with that? Oh, yes, sir. I said, all right. So I showed him 1 John 5, and he said, I just want you to know, he said, I've been saved, and I've been baptized in running water. And I said, whoa, 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 running water? He said, yeah, in the river. I said, oh, well, I don't know that really makes a difference, whether it's in the river or in a church baptistry or in the lake or in the ocean, or I guess water's water. Just need to be immersed in the water. He said, oh, no. I said, you got Bible for that? No, but here's what I believe. And he told me that he said, you got to get in baptized in running water so that the water washes your sins away. I said, what about the blood? What about the blood of Christ? Isn't that what we ought to be talking about? You know, it's the blood that makes the atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It's the blood. Oh, no, it's a running water. And I said, wow. I said, let me ask you a question. Okay? And I said, now suppose that you go down to the running water and you get in the running water and the pastor is going to baptize you by immersion in the running water. Right. I said, okay, so he puts you under the water and then all your sins are washed away going down the river. That's right. I said, what if around the bend there is another church? And they're down there baptizing in the same creek. We got a problem, don't we? And he looked at me and he said, I think you think too much. I said, no. I said, I just believe the Bible. And so the point is, folks, we were baptized into the body at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We became a Christian, a Christ one. We are a member of His body. All right? But then for the local church, so far as the church is concerned, you get saved, then you get baptized. And we encourage you to get baptized when you get saved. And so if you follow the Lord in believers' baptism, then that is testimony, because that's what baptism was intended to be. It was intended to be you sharing your testimony with others. And that's why we ask you two questions. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And that's in front of everybody. You're witnessing. And you say yes. And you're trusting Him. Or at least this question I asked two. And the second one is, you're trusting Him and Him alone to get you to heaven? Yes. Then upon that profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Now watch, when we bury you in baptism, we can't leave you down there. Moms have a difficult time with that. All right? You can see that, can't you? My baby. All right? Naturally. So what do? We bring you up out of the water. Oh, by the way, Jesus did not stay in the grave either. Amen. Let me take it just another step further. When Jesus died, they buried Him, placed Him in the ground. All right? They did not lean Him against the tomb and sprinkle dirt over His head. They buried Him. And that's why immersion. All right? Are you seeing this? All right? This is what we believe, and I want you to know what we believe. All right? So, you know, folks will say, have you been baptized of the Holy Spirit? And I say, Yeah. I'll say, yes, yes, I have. I got asked that on an airplane. Asked the guy if he knew the Lord as his Savior. We got to talking. I said, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? He said, yeah. I said, okay, what are you basing that on? And so anyway, we got into this big conversation. And he then looked at me and he said, well, let me ask you, have you been baptized of the Spirit? And I said, yes. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, where'd that happen? I said, that happened in church at the altar when I was 16 years old and the youth pastor took his Bible and led me to Christ. He said, I'm not talking about that. And I said, well, then that's the only baptism of the Spirit I know about. What are you talking about? He said, you know, the baptism of the Spirit as is evidenced in speaking in tongues. And I said, no, I've not had that. I said, can I show you in the Bible where Paul said that tongues would cease? Well, that's not in the Bible. How many times have you heard me say Christians don't read their Bibles? That's one reason why I say that. And so I showed him where it was. And I'm sure that means something other than just cease. I said, well, you know, I think if I was to go to a first grader in my church and ask that first grader, do you know what the word cease means? They would look at me and say, to stop. Right? That's not rocket science. But that's not what the Lord is referring to here in this 13th verse. Now, notice, look at the 13th verse again. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. All right, so now you will notice here that this experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is past tense for the believer. You see that? He's not talking about you're going to be. No, the moment you get saved, you have been right there. Right there. All right? Right there. And so the reason it happens to us is to place, listen carefully now, to place the new believer into one body. We are baptized into the body of Christ, into one body, the church. Okay? And so it doesn't make any difference who you are or what you are. I mean, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the event that unifies the believers. It unifies the believers, all believers. Okay, so that cancels out all of the differences that sin and race and culture and religion have created in us. All right, we are all one body. Several years ago, the newspaper here called and they said, we're doing a story. This was back before I quit talking to them. I don't talk to them anymore. They don't even call anymore because I quit talking to them. And so, well, why won't he talk to us? Because you never print what he says. You spin it to make you and your point instead of the point that I gave you. All right, so I said, you know, just say, Pastor Norris would probably say, and then give your opinion. And I hope you do, because I want to sue you. But anyway, no, I didn't say that. But anyway, they called and they said, I want to ask you a question. I said, okay, what is it? What do you think about the race problem here in Carroll County? And I said, what? What do you think about the race problem here in Carroll County? I said, what race problem? She said, well, you know. I said, no, I don't know. What are you talking about? Well, you know, the race problem. I said, ma'am, I don't know how to ask you this, but what race problem are you talking about? And so she stuttered and mumbled and, you know, never did really say anything. And finally, I said to her, ma'am, I'm not sure what you've been seeing or what you've been witnessing. I'm not sure what all you have noticed in Carroll County. But in my arena, and granted, my arena is not as big as the county, but we draw from all over the county. And we run buses, and we don't pull up to a house and say, are you wealthy, white, have a good education, and can contribute to in the tithes and offerings of the church? I said, we don't ever do that. I said, we open the door of the bus, and whoever wants to get on, gets on. Red, yellow, black, white, in between, green. We don't discriminate at all. At all. And she said, well, good for you. And I said, so what I'm saying to you, lady, is we don't have a race problem. You know who has a race problem? She said, who? I said, you and the Carroll County Times. You all are trying to get me to drum up a problem. There is no problem. I said, ma'am, when Jesus went to the cross, he died for the sins of the whole world. He's not going to stand there and say, you can come in and you can come in, but I'm sorry, you can't. Well, why can't I come in? Because your skin's not the color of that guy's skin. Baloney. That is not what baptized into one body means. So I told her that she needs to get the rest of the media on board and to quit trying to make an issue out of race, pitting one group of people against another group of people. And if they did that, I think we'd all be just fine and dandy. You know why we don't have a race problem here? Because the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood is completely colorblind. That's why. I said, ma'am, you come Sunday and you'll see white folks and you'll see brown folks and you'll see darker brown folks and you'll see real dark brown folks and you'll see Asian folks and you'll see all shades, colors, tints, hues. You're just going to see it all. You're going to see it all. And I said, each and every one is just as welcome as anybody else. Amen and amen. Oh. No, I can't. Y'all don't realize the timing of all this has to happen, because they quit up there and they quit across the hall and they quit downstairs and they quit in the Spanish church. All the different ministries all quit at the same time. If we don't, then I have workers standing at the door of my office with their claws out. Come get the kids. All right. Yeah, so that's why I can't. All right. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for your word, and thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are so grateful that the Spirit of God takes up residency in our lives, just as the disciples were in the upper room, 120 of them, and suddenly there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house, and they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. And Father, thank you for that baptism. And thank you that it's very clear in the Scripture that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for that baptism that identifies us as a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. And so now bless what's been said. Give us understanding. Help us to think on these things. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.